So this whole Texas measles thing, right? It started with those headlines about the Mennonite community, but it seems like things have really kind of blown up since then. It's not just some little local thing anymore. It's a full-blown public health situation for the whole state.
It is.
And that's why we're doing this deep dive today. We're going to be looking at this Christian Culture News article and pulling out the most important stuff for you so you don't have to. You're
Absolutely.
basically doing all the reading and thinking so you can just sit back, relax, and get the need-to-know info.
Right.
We want to figure out a few things. What's actually going on with measles in Texas right now? Why did it start where it did? How's it spreading? And most importantly, what does it all mean and what's being done about it?
I think a lot of people are wondering those very things.
Yeah.
It's definitely a story that's evolved quite a bit.
So the Mennonite community was definitely in those early headlines,
Right.
but the article makes it pretty clear that the outbreak's not limited to them anymore. There are cases popping up all over different parts of Texas.
Right.
And one thing that really strikes me is just how contagious measles is. You're
Yeah.
talking over 90% transmission rate among unvaccinated folks. That's crazy.
It is incredibly contagious.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the interesting things the article brings up is that they're actually seeing infections in both vaccinated and unvaccinated people,
Oh, wow.
which is a really important point because it means that while the vaccine is super effective, you know, it's not 100% guarantee. And this outbreak is showing us just how complicated these things can be.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're telling me that some people who have the vaccine are still getting infected.
That's what the article says. It's not super common, but it does happen. And it makes things even more tricky.
Yeah, no kidding. So it sounds like it's especially bad in rural areas, too.
Yeah, the article talks about how rural communities often have lower vaccination rates overall, and they've been hit pretty hard.
That makes sense. I guess herd immunity isn't as strong in those areas.
Exactly. When you have a large percentage of people vaccinated, it's like a wall that protects everyone, even the ones who can't be vaccinated or haven't been yet.
Yeah, that's what I've always heard.
But when those vaccination rates drop, that protection weakens and the disease can spread more easily.
So, bottom line, we need to understand exactly what measles is to get the full picture.
Right. What are we actually dealing with here?
Okay, so give us the rundown.
Well, measles is a very contagious illness, like we say.
Okay.
And it's caused by a virus, specifically the measles virus part of the Paramyxoviridae family, if you want to get technical.
You know, I was actually going to ask you if you knew the exact virus, but.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Yeah, okay. So this virus, what happens when you get it?
The article describes it pretty clearly. It starts with, you know, the usual suspects, high fever, cough, runny nose, those sorts of things. And then a few days later, you get this really distinctive red blotchy
Oh,
rash.
yeah. I've seen pictures of that. It doesn't look fun.
Not at all. And the way it spreads is through these little droplets that come out when someone coughs or sneezes.
So, like, if I'm sitting next to someone on the bus and they sneeze on me, I'm pretty much doomed.
Well, it depends if they have measles and if you're vaccinated. But yeah, those droplets can hang in the air or land on surfaces, and the virus can actually survive outside the body for a couple of hours.
2 hours. Seriously.
Yeah, up to 2 hours. That's what makes it so contagious. And remember that 90% infectivity rate we talked about. That means that if you're not immune and you come into contact with someone who has measles, there's a very high chance you'll get it too.
So it's not just some little cold you can shake off, right? There are some pretty serious risks involved.
Absolutely. While most people do recover fully, there can be complications, especially for young kids, pregnant women, or people with weak immune systems.
Yeah, I was reading about that in the article.
The article mentions things like diarrhea, ear infections, pneumonia, even.
Yeah, and didn't it mention something about brain problems?
It did. There's this really scary complication called acute sclerosing panencephalitis, or ASPE.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's basically a rare but often fatal brain disease that can happen years after you've had measles.
Years. Oh my gosh. That's terrifying.
It is, and that's why prevention is so important.
Okay, so what about this MMR vaccine everyone's talking about? Is it really that effective?
The MMR vaccine. Absolutely. It's been around for a long time, and it's been proven to be very effective at preventing measles, mumps, and rubella.
Okay, so that's what the MMR stands for. Got it.
Yeah, measles, mumps, rubella. It's a triple whammy of protection.
So basically, the vaccine is the key to stopping this whole outbreak, right?
It's the most effective tool we have, for sure.
Okay, so we've talked about what's happening now and what measles is, but let's take a step back and look at the history of measles in Texas. What does the article tell us about that?
Well, it says that measles has been around in Texas since at least the mid-20th century.
Okay, so not exactly a new problem then?
Nope. Before the vaccine came along in 1963, measles was super common in Texas.
Like, how common?
We're talking thousands of cases every year. It was basically a normal childhood illness back then.
Wow, that's a lot. But then the vaccine came along and changed everything.
Exactly. The vaccine had a huge impact. Measles cases dropped dramatically.
That's amazing. But hold on, didn't the article also mention some outbreaks that happened later on?
It did. There were some outbreaks in the 80s and 90s.
So what happened there? Did the vaccine stop working?
No. No, the vaccine still worked great. But the problem was that vaccination rates started to drop in some areas.
Why was that?
Well, the article talks about how there was a lot of misinformation going around at the time about the safety of vaccines.
Oh, yeah. I remember hearing about that. Some people were really worried about side effects and things like that.
Right. And unfortunately, that led some folks to choose not to vaccinate their kids.
Okay, so lower vaccination rates led to those outbreaks.
Got it.
So what about the 2000s? Did things get better then?
Yeah, overall, things did improve in Texas. Measles cases went down again.
That's good to hear.
But the article points out that there were still some localized outbreaks happening.
In those same areas with lower vaccination rates.
It's exactly. Often in communities with certain cultural or religious beliefs that discouraged vaccination.
Okay, so it's not just about individual choices. It's also about community dynamics.
Definitely. And fast forward to today, and we're seeing another rise in cases.
And this is mirroring what's happening across the country, right?
Exactly. It's a national trend. And the article says that vaccine hesitancy is a big part of the problem again.
So it's like we're going backwards in a way.
It's concerning, for sure. And the article specifically mentions the Texas Mennonite community as an example of a group with lower vaccination rates.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What's the deal with the Mennonite community and vaccines?
Well, a lot of Mennonite communities have a traditional distrust of modern medicine.
Why is that?
It's rooted in their faith and their beliefs. They often prefer to rely on divine providence and natural remedies.
So it's not just about science for them. It's about their deeply held beliefs.
Exactly. And the article points to studies that show significantly lower vaccination rates in some Texas Mennonite groups.
And their reason.
A mix of things. Religious convictions, a distrust of government mandates, that sort of thing.
I see. So it's not as simple as just telling them to get vaccinated. It's about understanding their perspective.
Right. It's about respecting their beliefs while also trying to educate them about the importance of vaccines.
And it's not just about individual Mennonites getting sick, right? Because they live in these tight-knit communities.
Exactly. That's what makes this so tricky. Within those communities, opinions and traditions spread quickly.
So if someone's skeptical of vaccines, their friends and family are likely to be too.
Right. And that can lead to misinformation spreading like wildfire.
Making it even harder to convince people to get vaccinated.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, you have the fact that they don't live in isolation. They interact with the wider world.
That's a crucial point. The article makes it clear that lower vaccination rates in any community can impact everyone.
So even if I'm vaccinated, if I'm around a lot of unvaccinated people, my risk goes up.
Precisely. Because the virus can jump from person to person more easily.
So this isn't just a Mennonite problem. It's a public health problem.
Exactly. And the article emphasizes that engaging with these communities requires a really sensitive approach.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you can't just barge in and tell them what to do. You have to build trust and respect their beliefs.
So it's more about education and dialogue than mandates.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And speaking of spreading beyond the Mennonite community, the article's headline really hits the nail on the head there.
Yeah. By October 2023, cases were showing up all over the place, even in areas that hadn't been affected before.
Right. And the article points to a couple of things driving that spread. First, we're a very mobile society. People are constantly moving around, interacting with different groups.
So it's easy for a virus to hitch a ride to a new location.
Exactly. And the article specifically mentions cases popping up in cities near those initial hotspots.
Leading to those public health warnings we heard about.
Exactly. But there's another factor at play here, too. And it's not limited to any one community.
You mean vaccine hesitancy?
Exactly. Yeah. It's becoming a much wider problem.
And the article talks about how misinformation is spreading like crazy online.
It is. Social media has become a breeding ground for these unfounded fears and conspiracy theories about vaccines.
Yeah, it's like people trust random Facebook posts more than doctors and scientists.
It's a real problem. Yeah. And it's not just happening in rural areas or specific communities. It's everywhere.
And the article also brings up another point about certain groups being particularly vulnerable.
Yeah, like areas with large immigrant populations or lots of travelers.
So places like refugee camps and college towns.
Exactly. They face unique challenges when it comes to vaccination.
because of cultural differences and maybe lower access to healthcare.
Right. And then you have things like public events where lots of people gather.
Those can turn into super spreader events pretty easily.
If there are enough unvaccinated people present, absolutely.
So, bottom line, it seems like this outbreak is really highlighting the cracks in our public health system.
It is. And the article talks about what's being done to address the situation.
Like what?
Well, the main focus is on vaccination campaigns.
Okay, so trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Exactly. And they're targeting those high-risk communities we talked about, as well as the general public.
So it's a two-pronged approach.
Right. And it's not just about giving people shots. It's also about providing accurate information about measles and the risks involved.
So a lot of public education, too.
Absolutely. Local clinics and health departments are doing a lot of outreach.
Like what kinds of things?
They're holding informational sessions, putting out flyers, using social media to spread awareness.
So trying to reach people where they are.
Exactly. And they're also working with community leaders to build trust.
Because people are more likely to listen to someone they already know and respect.
Right. And then there are all the efforts to contain the spread.
Like what?
Things like increased surveillance to track new cases, making sure clinics have the resources they need, and contact tracing to identify anyone who might have been exposed.
So it's a multifaceted response.
It has to be. This is a complex situation.
And at the heart of it all is vaccination.
Absolutely. The article is very clear about that vaccination is the most powerful tool we have to stop this outbreak.
Okay, so we've talked about the public health response, but what about the communities themselves? How are people reacting to all of this?
Well, the article says there's a real mix of reactions.
Yeah.
Some people are doubling down on their commitment to vaccination. They see this outbreak as proof that vaccines are essential.
Which makes sense.
But then you have others who are even more skeptical than before.
Because they see it as confirmation of their fears.
Exactly. And unfortunately, those fears are often based on misinformation.
Like that whole vaccine autism link that's been debunked so many times.
That one's a classic.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it keeps coming back, even though science has proven it wrong.
But people see a child with autism who was also vaccinated and they jump to conclusions.
Right. And they ignore all the evidence that shows there's no connection.
It's like they're looking for any excuse to confirm their biases.
It's a real challenge. And social media just makes it worse.
Yeah, because those anecdotal stories and conspiracy theories spread like wildfire online.
And it's so hard to combat that with facts and logic.
Because people's emotions are already running high.
Exactly.
And the article makes a good point that these misconceptions have real consequences. Like what?
They lead to lower vaccination rates, which increase the risk of outbreaks.
So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in a way.
It can be. And that's why clear and accurate communication is so important.
So it's not just about having the vaccines available. It's about making sure people understand why they need them.
Exactly. And the article suggests a few ways to do that.
Like what?
Well, involving trusted community leaders in these educational campaigns.
Because people are more likely to listen to someone they already know and respect.
Right. And using local communication channels that people are already tuned into.
Like local newspapers or community radio stations.
Exactly. And the article also talks about the importance of creating a supportive environment for dialogue.
So people can ask questions and share their concerns without feeling judged.
Right. And they mention the potential of using personal stories in media campaigns.
Because those can be really powerful.
They can. If you hear someone's story about how measles affected their family, it might make you think twice about skipping that vaccine.
Yeah, it makes it more real and relatable.
Exactly. And of course, access to vaccines is crucial too.
Making sure it's easy and affordable for everyone to get vaccinated.
Absolutely.
So it's a multi-pronged approach again.
It has to be.
This is a complex problem with no easy solutions.
Okay, so let's wrap things up. What are the key takeaways from this deep dive into the measles outbreak in Texas?
Well, it's clear that this is a serious public health issue that's gone beyond just one community.
It's affecting the entire state and even beyond.
Exactly. And it's being driven by a combination of factors.
Like lower vaccination rates, misinformation, distrust of the medical establishment.
All of those things are playing a role.
And the article really hammers home the importance of vaccination.
It does. Vaccination is our best defense against measles, and it's essential for protecting ourselves and our communities. And this isn't just about individual health. It's about public health.
Absolutely. When enough people are vaccinated, it creates that herd immunity that protects everyone, even the most vulnerable members of our society.
And that's something we all need to think about, right? It's not just about me and my choices. It's about the impact those choices have on others.
It's about taking responsibility for our collective well-being.
Exactly. And that brings me to a final thought for you, our listener. In a world where we're all so interconnected, how do you see your role in ensuring not just your own health, but the health of those around you? It's a question worth pondering, especially when it comes to preventable diseases like measles.
It is. It's a question of individual responsibility and collective action.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and be sure to check out the Christian Culture News article for yourself. We'll link to it in the show notes.
And until next time, stay healthy and informed.
Celia.